ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
While remarkable progress has been made in the fight against breast cancer, not everyone is benefiting from the improvements in survival rates. African-American women have a 23% lower five-year survival rate than their white counterparts. Why the difference? Research shows physical exercise can play a vital role in improving the lives of breast cancer patients. On this edition of UWM Today, we take a look at a program right here in Milwaukee that introduces African-American women to an exercise program that could be the difference between living and dying. Joining us in the studio are Alice Yan, Associate Professor at the Zilber School of Public Health at UWM, and Lisa Goodwin, a cancer survivor who recruits African-American breast cancer patients to participate in a pilot study looking at the effect exercise has on those fighting breast cancer. Welcome to both of you, ladies. Good to have you with us today.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Alice, let's begin with you. What is it that got you interested in studying this interesting and actually rather frightening disparity between cancer survivors who are white and African American?
And Tom, this is a very good question. And we know that breast cancer is the second leading cause of death in women in the United States. And despite all the advancement in treatment, and African American women's five-year survival rate is 23% lower than the non-Hispanic white woman. And this health disparity exists in Milwaukee's southeast Wisconsin. And we also know that exercise has a beneficial effect for the cancer survival rate. But the question is how to translate the evidence-based exercise programs into African-American women's daily life and make it a lifestyle behaviors. So my research is motivated to do this kind of translations. And fortunately, American Cancer Society funded our studies, and this is how we, begin this pilot study.
And that's what led you to begin working with Lisa. Lisa, let's tell the story about how you connected with Alice, who's looking at this disparity and trying to figure out how to help African-American breast cancer patients survive longer.
Yes, Tom. I connected with Alice at the Black Health Coalition, which partnered with us working with breast cancer survivors. And it was my mom had breast cancer, and there was and she also has diabetes. So we went to a health fair at the Black Health Coalition. And one of the questions, it was a focus group that Alice asked was, what was the hardest thing you had to get through or fight? And when it got to me, I stated that the hardest thing that I had to get to was being a breast cancer survivor. And we connected after class, and she said she would be doing a pilot program or a research, and would it be okay to get back with me and call me for me to help, work with her in the community.
So you and your mother, both victims of breast cancer.
Yes. I am actually the fifth lady in my family to have had breast cancer. Excuse me, no, the sixth, because I just had a distant cousin I found out that had breast cancer.
So, Alice, the connection with Lisa, that was critical for you to be able to conduct this study looking at the role of exercise in the lives of African-American women.
Mm-hmm. I agree, because I have been working with the community organizations such as the Black Health Coalition of Wisconsin probably for 6 years. And through that organization, I have connected through a lot of African-American women, and especially through one program I was connected to Lisa. And ever since, we have been working together on a lot of health promotion programs, not only on breast cancer, but on type 2 diabetes in the communities.
So Lisa is your conduit to be able to connect with
Yes.
those community members. Is that a tough sell, Lisa, to get African-American women to want to participate in these sorts of studies?
It's not a tough or hard thing for me, myself personally, because I chose to fight like other women. And speaking to people about breast cancer comes easy. At first, you know, there's a lot of people that are shy or don't want to speak about it. And I found that our program will serve sort of like a support group to people. They'll open up. It was not hard at all for me because, like I said, my mom was a breast cancer survivor. I helped with her prior to me, but when it came to me, it was a different thing. But now I'm more like an ambassador or a spokesperson for breast cancer, and people call me even outside of helping Alice, and they want to get together, they want resources, or they want to go exercise and different things like that. So it came pretty easy for me.
Let's talk about exercise itself. How do we know that it is a factor in improving your odds if you have breast cancer? Alice, what sort of evidence or research has been done on that front that led you to the study here in the community?
So I'm going to talk a little bit about the statistics. So based on the statistics from the National Institute of Health, and many studies shows that physical active women have a lower risk of breast cancer than inactive women. And also study shows that the evidence for association is stronger for postmenopausal breast cancer. So women who were active or, you know, have a lower chance of getting the breast cancer. And for after their treatment, if they continue the exercise program, they have a lower, you know, chance of cancer recurrence or having other comorbid chronic conditions such as obesity, type 2 diabetes, and other diseases.
What kind of exercise are we talking about? Really, you know, hardcore in the gym or
no.
Lisa, what do you say to women that you're trying to bring into this study program to expect?
I tell them to expect what they put into it because as a breast cancer survivor, during treatment, they give you an exercise program. And the program would be, for me, it was, treadmill hour a day because during breast cancer, 90% of the women I found are on a steroid shot or get steroids. So that right there will help. But it helps also, any type of exercise will help, whether it's just brisk walking, 30 minutes in the gym, you know, find a friend to just walk around with and just chat with them, and that'll help your motivation. But it does help. It helps so you don't get diabetes because there's different types of medications that they give you or different types of things that your body goes through, you know, aches and pains and joint pains and things like that, where that'll help your activity.
So did you exercise before you had breast cancer?
Actually, no, Tom. I did not. After breast cancer, I gained 25 pounds. And that was due to probably the steroids and emotions and other things that go on with the women. You know, you're eating, you're emotional eating, you're upset, you're depressed. You know, you're thinking about what's going to happen with my life. So I did gain 25 pounds, but I did get a steroid shot during treatment. So that helped put 25 pounds on me. And actually, I've lost, I think, 20.
Well, you look terrific.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your wonderful success in beating the disease at this point. Let's talk a little bit more about the cultural attitudes in the African American community towards exercise. Is it just the fact that you aren't near a gym as you were growing up, perhaps, and said that's not important, or is it just something that you may not have been as inclined to do as your white counterpart?
Well, I think a lot of the, with myself, and I've talked to a lot of the survivors also, a lot of the things with exercise with African-American people is, first of all, they can't afford the gym. That's one of the things. It's a downfall. But I always tell people and encourage people, like my doctor would tell me, if you can't afford weights, get some canned goods. That helps. I mean, I exercise a lot with my grandkids, running up and down the stairs, riding bikes, walking, you know, to the parks and things like that. But, and that's not a big thing of African-American people to exercise, you know. So it really put something good into my heart to tell people or share to people how they could exercise, different ways to exercise. My grandma exercises, and she's 95. So if grandma can do it, we can do it. That's what I always say.
Well, and I have to believe that the grandkids love the idea, right? That
my grandkids,
Grandma Lisa is able to keep up with them.
Yes, I have two boys. And as Alice knows, they're very, very active. Everybody has Facebook now. We're all on Facebook. We're at parks. We're climbing rocks. And I'm like, oh, grandma can't do that. My 6-year-old says, Granny, come on, you can do it, you can do it. So that gives me my inspiration. That gives me, you know, my grandkids are what helped me get through my cancer battle because, you know, you have to have something to fight for. I had that faith and I had my grandkids to look forward to.
Yeah, that's a great, great story. Alice, the fact that you have such a wonderful spirit here in Lisa, who can go out and sing the praises of this exercise program, that was really key for you to be able to conduct the study mm-hmm. that you undertook, wasn't it?
Yes, we used a community-based participatory research approach to get, this is a different approach than a traditional research study that is research on subject or participants. In this study design, we actively involved like Lisa's ideas and other participants' idea. We get community's input and ask them how can they help to co-design the studies. So they were kind of like serving as a co-researchers of the programs. They help us select the music, select the type of exercise, and that are attractive to them instead of, you know, as researcher designing the studies and posing it and push it to them to participate. So this is really interesting way.
So was one of the goals of the study to find out exactly what the trigger mechanism would be to get women involved in exercise? Picking better music, picking a better location, or were you just basically trying to confirm or reaffirm some of those earlier studies that suggest that exercise is a benefit?
So the earlier study already shows that exercise is beneficial for breast cancer survivors, but I think the research gap is how to best translate that into women's lives. So how we designed the study. We wanted to implement it in the community settings rather than the clinical settings.
The study itself has a really interesting name. It's called
Sisters We Thrive.
Sisters We Thrive. Where did that come from?
I think that came from
one of the focus groups
because as we got the ladies together and got some of the information and figured out what kept us going, we're thriving for life. God has given us a different purpose. And we're very faithful as African-American women. You know, we believe that if it wasn't for God or Jesus or whatever higher power that whatever higher power you believe in, that's what got us. That's the person that keeps us going as African-American people.
So you fuse together the science that suggests, that confirms exercise is a real plus with the faith aspect of people's lives.
Yes. And as breast cancer survivors, I pretty much knew, but Alice has learned that faith is a big thing for us. If it wasn't for, you know, there's days where you just felt like, oh, you don't want to get up out the bed. You know, you have a lot of side effects from the cancers, but God or whatever higher power that you serve, they keep you going. If it wasn't for them, a lot of people think of death when they think of breast cancer. But now through our focus groups and through the things that we're doing with the exercise, they know that it is God, but also it's your attitude, it's your personality. And they're actually getting up and they're fighting and they're striving for life now. So that's a good, excellent thing.
You're listening to UWM Today, right here on WUWM. I'm Tom Lujack. Joining us in the studio today is Alice Yan. Alice is an associate professor at UWM's Zilber School of Public Health, right here in the city. And joining us right next to Alice, Lisa Goodwin, a cancer survivor. We're talking about a unique program called Sisters We Thrive, effort designed to get African-American women engaged in exercise after they or during their fight against breast cancer. Alice, the whole faith aspect that Lisa just talked about, is that something that you were aware of when you first began working with this population, trying to figure out ways to extend survival rates?
Yes. Based on the literature, studies shows that a lot of African-American breast cancer survivors, they have a very strong faith-based belief when they were coping with breast cancer treatment. However, I wanted to know, before I conducted this study, I wanted to know what is, the Milwaukee women look like when they were, especially for the survivors. So is that my answer to your question?
And so that's where Lisa came in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lisa, you opened the doors. How difficult was it, Lisa, to convince women in your community to participate in this study? You said that there can be a bias towards discussing breast cancer.
They can be biased because a lot of women I found, that's a personal thing. That's a health issue. And there's some sort of put up a shield. But a lot of people I've met said they didn't even, after cancer, they didn't even have support groups. So now they use Alice and I as a linkage, as a connection, a network. They feel very comfortable with us. They feel very comfortable calling me, Lisa, I went to the doctor and this and that happened. Can you give me some advice? Do you know any resources or places that you can go? But now they're very, very comfortable. You know, they've got a connection with us. Faith is very, very important to African Americans, as I said before. They feel like they're at the bottom of the – they're in quicksand. And all of a sudden, something opens up. And when it opens up, there's a light at the end of a tunnel. I can attest to that because I felt the same way. My mind kept saying, oh, why me, why me? But if God gets you there, he can get you out of it. So that's how we believe. Faith is very strong.
Are you surprised that you're in this role today? Did you ever imagine that you would be so active in the fight against breast cancer and helping survivors with their lives?
Well, I always in my family have always played the caregiver aspect. And, you know, if your mom or someone in your family gets sick, of course, if your mom gets sick, if you're able, you're going to help your mom. And I had been there with my mom. My aunt, she was more of a private person, but we were there with her through surgery and things like that. But I never thought it would happen to me. Once it happened to me, I prayed to my God and I said, this happened for a reason. And my reason is to help other people. I was a young cancer survivor. I was under the age of 40. I was 38 when I was diagnosed a couple of years before my 39th birthday. But thank God for mammograms, because I was taking a mammogram because of my mom from the age of 25. And I just found it from a mammogram. So once it came and once I got through the aspect of knowing I can beat this, I have grandchildren to live for, I'm going to beat this thing. Once I got that, my mindset there, and I started talking to people, it came natural. I figured that was my calling from God, to work with Alice, to help promote people. There are people that don't even have insurance that we've met through our program. They knew nothing about some of the resources and the places they can go to get free mammograms and things like that. So Sisters We Thrive have played a big, big part in their lives. So I think I was called to do this time.
And you're doing it well.
Thank
you. Very, very well. Alice, the study itself, is the pilot done now? And are you moving on to other research in this area? Or are you still in the midst of your research?
We are still in the midst of the research. So the pilot is done now. And the next phase is a 12-week studies and involving 45 participants. And the program will expand it to include the nutrition guidelines. And a greater emphasis will focus on the self-management of the chronic side effect of the cancer treatment. And also the format of the study will not only include the exercise, but also the group sessions talking about self-management of their chronic effect and the home-based exercise and telephone counseling. So it will be more complicated, but more interesting.
Where is it going to take place? Where will you be working with these women in the community?
It's will be in the same location in the Martin Luther King Center centers on the 17th and Valete in the within the communities, and we're also like recruiting the women in the community.
And so, Lisa, are you involved in that recruitment? Are you the one knocking on the doors?
Yes, I am. I knock on the doors. I make phone calls. I meet people. I'm a pink person, so I'll wear pink. I'll wear something with cancer.
You have some pink on today?
Yes, that's my favorite color. And they'll say, sometimes it might just be me taking care of business where I'm going to the post office to mail something for mom or something. And they'll say, oh, you have pink. And I say, I'm a breast cancer survivor. And that'll start a gateway. And we'll start talking and that we'll network. And I'll say, well, by the way, I'm going to give you my number or a card or a flyer. We're having some program or we're something that we're doing. So I am the one knocking on the doors and I don't give up. I don't tap out, as I tell Alice, because you didn't tap out when you had cancer. So someone might say, well, I don't know, give me a call back. I put it in my calendar and I'll call them back and we'll have a conversation and we'll just share our journeys and our stories. And the person said, well, put me down. I'll work around my schedule. We've had ladies take off, go to work an hour early to get to a program or stay an hour later so they can come to the program on that day.
You should be a politician. You've got great persuasive powers, Lisa.
Thank you, Tom.
do the African-American women that you invite into these studies ever gently say no, or maybe not so gently say, I'm not going there?
Oh, I've dealt with that. They might say no or whatever, but then later down the line, I find that they might call me back or they'll call me and say, I have a friend that has, or aunt that has cancer. Do you have room in your group? Alice and I have wingled around, you know, things to just fit people in because we have a list and we're thinking, oh, it's 25 people or 20 people and they might have a cousin or whatever. But they usually, 9 times out of 10, they don't say no, Tom. They'll give me their number or take my information or Alice's information and they'll get back with me, or I'll call as I do my calls or knock on my doors and they'll say, well, I wasn't going to come because of Saturday or whatever. We have a class on 2 days, or so they usually come.
A moment ago, Alice mentioned that you're going to be expanding the study to include discussions about nutrition as well as whether you exercise or don't exercise. How difficult will it be to add that new component? And let's start with you, Alice, first. Are you going to be giving out menus, or are you going to be just talking more generally about the idea of eating healthier? How specific will you be as you work with women in the community?
So I think the key is the cultural tailoring. A lot of time we cannot change people's eating behavior in certain ways, but I think the key is how to make people cook the same way, not the same way, their traditional way, but in a more nutritious way. And then how to teach, women's to count calories, the portion size. Yes, they probably can eat the same food, but they just have to eat a smaller portion. And this is the key. And we really do not want the women to completely change how they eat and what they eat, but actually make it fit into a nutrition guidelines.
And so, Lisa, how tough a sell will that be?
It won't be that tough a sell because my oncologist asked me, she said, I don't want you to diet. She said, I want you to watch what you eat. So losing weight, I exercise. That's how I've lost weight. And I will just share that with people. And I like Alice said, I eat a different portion. I might not use butter. I'll use olive oil. So I don't think it'll be that tough of a deal to sell. I'll just use myself as an example because I feel good. I feel better since I've lost the weight. And as you exercise, all the side effects that you have from chemo, it definitely, if you've had chemo or radiation, it's definitely better because some of the side effects I have, I'm not a medication person. I'll do it the natural way.
Yeah. So, Alice, how long will the study run?
The study, as we are going to the next phase of 12 weeks, so that's the Yes, this is the length of the studies.
And again,
and
the idea is
the overall is 2 years.
Two years, okay.
Yes, 2 years study.
So you really are going to be tracking these people.
Yes,
to
over
see
time.
Whether or not they stick to it in terms
yes.
of both diet and
exercise.
Mm-hmm. Any regional differences? Do we have any sense yet of whether Milwaukee is unique or is the way in which women respond to their breast cancer the same here as in other communities? Any evidence on that question?
I would have to say, in my opinion, there is no different than African Americans, whether it's here or Texas, how they respond to the breast cancer. No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So, but and we're here in Milwaukee. The Zilber School of Public Health is here, so you have a great community to conduct this survey or research in.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa, as you look down the road at your life, with just a couple of minutes left here in the program, what do you hope will be accomplished by being involved in work that Alice is doing and others are doing at the public health school?
I hope that what will be accomplished is that the people stick to exercise in their daily living and they stick to their diet, because it'll make them feel a lot healthier. It'll help their neuropathy if they have it. That's a side effect. It'll help any side effects, their joint pains, because chemo works on your bones and your joints. It'll help their physical and their mental state of mind. And it'll help them be able to share their stories with other people like I am and help someone down the road.
It sounds like you're committed to this even if the study is completed in 2 years. It doesn't sound like you're going anywhere.
I am not going anywhere. God has spared me, Tom.
And you're finding a way to provide that payback today, aren't you?
Yes, to others and help them. I mean, a little conversation might help a person. So if that helps, then that helps. That's my calling.
And Alice, in a couple of years, you think you'll have a good sense of what works and what doesn't work in terms of encouraging changes in behavior?
Yes, definitely. We're already publishing results of the first year focus group, and probably soon you will hear update from me. And then my next step is to build on this current 2 year study into a 5 year studies, and to include participants beyond Southeast Wisconsin. And currently, the National Institute of Health and American Cancer Society, they are encouraging study of methods to promote the adoption and integration of evidence-based programs, evidence-based practice, intervention, and policies into routine healthcare and public health and community settings. And this is where I envision I go from the current study.
So this is just the beginning of a lot
mm-hmm.
of work.
Yeah.
And for some reason, why do I think that Lisa might be right by your side?
I'm going to stick with Alice to the end, because her works are great. And we really, not just me, all the ladies really appreciate Alice. We really appreciate Alice because she's helping us spread the word. And that's what it takes to keep a community together and keep women healthy out here.
Well, we appreciate both of you sharing your stories with us today. And Alice, best of luck as you continue your research at the Public Health School. And Lisa, congratulations for being such a marvelous representative of the cause, taking the message out to the community.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom.
Alice Yan, Associate Professor of Community and Behavioral Health Promotion at the Zilber School of Public Health, and Lisa Goodwin, a cancer survivor and a woman who's been actively involved in helping promote good ideas in terms of exercise and nutrition within the African-American community, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. Well, that's all for this week's program. Thanks for joining us, folks. We'll see you next week at the same time. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.